Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I want to invite your attention to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. We're going to read a little scripture here today. And we're going to start a little series for 4 or 5 weeks on what it means to sow. What it means to sow this, seeds have been sowed, what the gospel and all that relates to that. And you'll find the verses in front of me. We'll read responsively. And then we'll also go into Matthew chapter 18, 2 verses from that portion as well. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat on the sea, and a whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And he said to them, "He who hears, who has ears to hear, let him hear." Matthew. Let's read this last verse together. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're opening our hearts today to discover more about your word that's relevant to our situation. And God, there's something about what we're sowing in this world today that will make a difference. And Lord, we want to look at this particular parable and hopefully we can apply it to our lives, that we will find ourselves sowing the seed that has been sowed, that will find its place into our hearts and produce a crop. 60 and 100 fold and many, many things would happen because of this. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want you to turn to somebody, look them in the eye, and tell them this. So what? So what? You can go ahead and be seated. And that's kind of our little tagline. So what? What are you sowing? So what? And actually, sometimes we say that. So what? What does that mean? In other words, we're going to discover some things about the things that have come forth of our life that we want to get some produce from or some realization from. Well, the parable of the sower, it can appear to be so straightforward that interpretation we don't really need to grasp or to understand what it's talking about. However, I want to tell you some things that when trying to reconcile it with the Great Commission that Jesus made, that we may find ourselves wondering if preaching the gospel is basically doomed to a 75% failure rate. If you read that particular parable over, it seems like only 25% of the things we've sowed actually produced anything. Today, I hope I'll grasp your attention because we're going to talk about that in a practical sense, that when we factor in the ultimate freedom of choice, ignorance, unbelief, disbelief, it would appear that the message of the gospel is destined to fail. Wow. I didn't want to talk about this because we just talk about, oh, so sweet to trust in Jesus, 25% of the time. Here's my questions for us today, and we're going to examine ourselves in the process. Have you allowed discouragement to overtake you regarding the gospel message because of what appears to be a spiritual climate of barrenness. In other words, it's not fashionable, nor is in some cases, if you're on your job, if you want to keep it, is it legal to even talk about Jesus? So the places you want to sow, you cannot sow what you need to sow. And so it's important for us to understand that God has a remedy for all this, but let's get into it a little bit further, and here's the second question. Has your desire to witness about Jesus been silenced because you believe that no one wants to hear it? And some of us believe that. They don't want to hear you talking about Jesus, religion, and all those other type of things. Number three, we'll catch you. Do you believe that competition of worldly distractions has left no room, little or no room, for people's attention to be grasped by the truth of the gospel message? And we're going to talk about that somewhat today, about distractions, about the things that will leave us to the particular place where distractions can really, really cause some things to happen in our life. So dealing with distractions to what really matters, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we'll read those real quickly. It goes like, I'll read these for you. It says, now it happened that when he entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, and she also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Let's hold it there for just a moment. I think that we can come to a church service and we have all kind of ideas and ideals of what it should look like. And we have a preconceived idea of how much worship there should be and what songs we really like and all this type of thing. And so we can get distracted with a number of different things. But here's this distraction here, because Martha and Mary, there's a controversial situation that's introduced here. He says, you know, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. In other words, fix this situation. It's not turning out the way I thought it would. And I know that every person, whether you like it or not, when you come through those doors, you have certain expectations about what's going to happen. And you're wondering if they're going to sing your favorite song. Or do things the way you think it ought to be done. Let's go down to the last few verses. He says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Isn't that amazing? Before you leave here today, I want to give you that one part that'll leave you and go out the doors with you that will not be able to be taken away. You say, how are you going to do that? Hang with me for about the next 27, 30 minutes. We'll see how that works. Well, the seed of the word of Jesus is stolen through distractions. And whether you want to recognize it or believe it or not, many of you, since you came into this particular place, into this service, you've been distracted. Some of you have checked your cell phone already. Oh, yes, you did. See, somebody called you. I want to let you know right now, you are not that important. And then you checked it out and you found also it was one of them ads you can't get rid of. But you checked it anyway. Or we got distracted by something else was going on in the service, or this person didn't do, you know, distractions, what is. Well, we shift our attention from something of greater importance to something of lesser importance seems to be the mindset of people prone to distractions. You're doing really good, but all of a sudden your mind takes off someplace and you follow the rabbit trail off into the weeds somewhere. Remember I told you several weeks ago about you people that feel like, you know, I'm a multitasker as far as that's concerned. I can do several different things at the same time, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I can prove you statistically that your productivity is reduced down to 40% when you try to do two things at the same time. And you don't do either one of them very good. So there. Our attention often runs after what is important to us at that moment. And the enemy is a master of distractions, of telling you that that is more important than hearing the word of God. I promise you that some of you will leave this auditorium and you will be figuring out what you're going to have for lunch before you leave this room. and I'll still be preaching. Yes, you will. So, oh, Pastor, I would never do that. You've already been there. Distractions will reveal what we really love, regardless of what we think. And I'm not going to leave you here condemned, because I'm going to leave you here with a remedy. So just hang with me for a while and take the torture. The word of God is often displaced by things that have little to do with the things of the kingdom. And self has a tendency to be our first priority on how things are affecting us. Well, I know everyone else is, but I'm just not feeling it today. I know they're all entering into worship, but it's just not where I'm at. Did you come to worship God or to worship yourself? Amen. It's so easy to move God off the throne of our hearts and put ourselves in the place that's kind of waving our flag. Well, it means this further. Our daily routine can be the enemy of the word finding its rightful place in our lives, because we will choose the routine of what we're used to, or what we always do. Well, I always, when I come to church, I always sit in the third row from the da-da-da-da-da. And if somebody's in your spot, you are ruined for the rest of the night. You're ruined. What is she doing there? Who does she think she is? And, you know, and we did this several years ago. I'm going to do it to you guys one of these Sundays. I'm going to make you sit on the other side of the room. I said, all right, everybody switch. And some of you would say, I just can't do it. I just can't hear the same. You know I'm talking the truth. How we believe we are coming across to others will often override what should be, what really is happening to us, in us and to us. And sometimes we're so impacted by image, our image, what people think of us. We can't get to Jesus, and he can't get to us. Well, routine can overrule relationship. And I'm sure Martha was an excellent hostess, and she probably had all the table linens out, if that's what they had, and she had everything in its place as far as that's concerned. But she's running behind a little bit, and she'd love it if her sister Mary would have helped her. But Jesus is at Jesus' feet, and Mary's at Jesus' feet, and she's listening to him, and oh boy, she is ticked. Jesus, get my sister in here. She don't care about what I'm doing. I could have everything on the table if she'd only come and help me. And the interesting thing about it is, in some way, she was right. She got behind. It would have been a lot better if she helped her. But we sometimes make the choices based upon what we think is the right thing, and no one can convince us of anything the opposite. Say amen. Because we're fixed on it. Martha really assumed that her role as hostess was rather than being a disciple of Jesus. Now, that's no reason to treat people poorly that come to your home, but we have to get our focus on the right things. And furthermore, her desire to minister to Jesus prevented her from seizing the opportunity of receiving from him. She wanted to make sure everything was the way it's supposed to be. But I want to turn up the amperage to your reception of Jesus today. Forget about all the peripheral stuff. And what did you come to receive from the Lord today? Some of you just came and said, well, if something will happen, just happenstancely. I want you to take a moment and do this right now. Take 30 seconds. And I want you to stop for those 30 seconds and just focus in on the one thing you'd like to receive from Jesus today. And I'm going to look at my watch, and I want you to focus on that one thing for 30 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. That one thing you want to receive from Jesus today. You got 30 seconds to do that. Just focus on it right now. And the last 15 seconds, believe that Jesus can do it in your life. Just to focus on it but not believe it, nothing will come to pass. Well, that went by real quickly, but here we go. Her default went to what seemed to be important to her and not what was important to Jesus. Because she immediately thought, well, Jesus is going to come to my rescue, and he's going to rebuke Mary for being such a terrible hostess. And he said, hold up, girl. He didn't quite say it like that. He says, but wait a minute. He says, you missed the whole point. The anxiety of what we love can help us, or excuse me, keep us from getting what we truly need. And we will miss Jesus by allowing distraction of what we believe is important. And I don't know what you believe is important today, but I believe there's one thing, at least one thing for sure, Jesus wants to do in your life, and you will miss it if you get yourself in the wrong place. Can I get an amen? But some of you, unfortunately, came here with no expectation. You're just going to be business as usual. If God does something, great. And if he doesn't, we've missed an opportunity. Because every time we gather together, God's got something for us. Well, anxiety is often based upon what we think people will think of us if we don't meet the expectations of what they have self-imposed upon you. Or what about this? We must make the shift from our slavery bent of efficiency to faith in Jesus. Now, I admit at certain times I can be OCD about certain things. I like things a certain way, certain time, da da da. That's kind of how I am. But you know what? When Jesus comes in, it's all off the table. I don't care. You know, I like it my certain way, but you know, I can abandon that in a minute, because when the presence of God comes in, it's all off the table. It's all because of what Jesus wants to do. Do not allow your personality and your preferences to keep you from having an encounter with Jesus. That's the major thing that we're speaking through this whole service. Well, what happens is that our values create distractions away from spending time with the living word, which means this. This parable, we're just going to talk about the one verse. It talks about the birds come in, they fly down, and they snatch the word of God. We're going to talk about those birds of distraction can steal the seed of the word of God from us. And we find ourselves doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Good, it's at a table for Jesus. But our reasoning isn't really compatible to that. What about this? In order to be delivered from distraction, we must be willing to sacrifice some of the things that we ascribed to routine parts of our life. And, you know, we have to stop doing this. Stop talking and start listening. Ever been in a situation like that? A person says, yeah. Would you listen for a moment? I mean, some of you like to hear yourself talk. Yeah, you know, this type of thing. And, you know, I want to say, in the name of Jesus, shut up. Shut up. Be blessed. Shut up. Distractions can become evils within themselves because everyone has a time tax that we pay for, of which there is no refund. Some of you look at, praise God, the government's back working. I'll get my refund. Not if you ain't paid nothing. But here's the deal. We have made investments in certain things that there will never be a return. Never. Let me show you how it works. The time we spend on things that have no spiritual value can never be redeemed. What? Don't I get points for this? Absolutely not. I don't care how hurt you are. Distractions often lead to double-mindedness, which is the apex of instability. Should I do this? Should I do that? But Jesus, he put it down, he narrowed it down to one thing. There's only one thing that's important, and your sister Mary gets it. Now, here's my question for you. What's the one thing that's important to you right now? To not go to sleep? To make people think that I'm spiritual? Let's go on quickly and talk about Satan comes after the word immediately before it can take root. Back to Mark 4:4, it says, and it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came down and devoured it. I can guarantee you, since you came in this room this morning, Satan has systematically been stealing snippets of the word of God or things of the essence of the word of God and devoured it before you get a chance, before it had a chance to take root in you. What? What? Okay, it's time to prove it. The enemy will not waste time when the word is preached to try to prevent it from taking root. Let me show you how it works. He will cause you to think about things that are not relevant to the word of God. I've been focusing the whole time. You're a liar. No, you haven't been. And that is not an indictment against you. It's a lifestyle that we have to really learn to allow the Holy Spirit to deliver in us. But we can be all kinds of different places. But because we haven't left the room, we don't know you're at Lloyd Center. We don't know you're at Starbucks. The caramel macchiato with a couple extra squirts of... I haven't had one of those. Never mind. Anyway. He will tempt you to focus on the something that has nothing to do with what is being said or done. And here's the last part. We will put on an opposing thought in your mind against what was just spoken by the pastor or preacher. Oh, I don't know whether that's so important or not. I mean, Pastor Richard thinks it's important, but I don't really think that's that important. I think he's just he's a legalist. And I want to let you know, that wasn't necessarily your thought. The devil is here to uproot the word of God. And Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Is that what the word of God says? Amen. And so he says, I don't think that's a very loving thing for him to say. And why he would say that, I just don't know why he would say that. He'll get you off on some rabbit trail that has nothing to do with what's being said. Amen. And you'll have this debate going on in your head. And meanwhile, the word is passing right on by. Don't allow the devil to steal from you what God wants to give you in the word of God. And sometimes you have to tell yourself in the midst of the service, refocus. It's just like, you know, that thing you have on your dashboard that tries to tell you where to go. It gets to a certain point, it says recalibrating. Some of y'all need to recalibrate during this and get yourself back on track because you'll get off someplace in the weeds. Oh, you don't believe me, but I know I'm talking the truth. Are you ready for this one? 90% of what you hear today will be forgotten before you reach the parking lot. I was nice enough not to put a test out there for you to fill out. But I have statistics to prove it. 90% of what you hear today, you will not remember it by the time you get to the parking lot. Oh, no. Now, don't feel bad about that. You say, what? We should be down here fasting and praying and wailing and asking God to help us and forgive us. Because I'm going to give you a solution to the situation. First of all, we have to have an awareness of what's going on. But look at this. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want to tell you the reason why you can't remember it, or he wants to keep you from remembering it, because he wants to keep you in the place where you'll sin against God. Amen. So if he can cause you to forget the word of God, you have no remedy against sin, so therefore, guess what happens? You just go right into the same sin pattern you had when you walked in the door. But I want to tell you, if we can take authority of that, which I'm going to show you how to do this, you will not be held captive or held hostage to the enemy any longer for the lack of the word of God taking place in your heart. Somebody say amen, because that's what we're going to do. Well, here's how we work it out. If we do not ask the Holy Spirit to protect our hearts and minds, the enemy will steal the word from us. I want to tell you how to pray. When you come to church, you say, Holy Spirit, as I walk into church today, do not allow the devil to take anything out of my heart that you want to plant in there that will cause me to be a better servant of yours. You have to pray. You have to believe. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will do that. Because you know what? He's your helper. He said he would bring things to your remembrance at the right time. That's what Jesus prayed would happen for you. That's why he's here. That's why he's present inside of you. He's not for you to say, oh, yeah, I was at this prayer, you know, pre-service prayer, and we just spoke in tongues, we did all this other type of thing, and then you came in here and you were as dead as a fish. Huh? Speaking in tongues is great. What's greater than that is allowing the Holy Spirit to work warfare so the word can get into your heart, that you'll be able to stand firm in your convictions of Jesus. Hiding the word in your heart only happens when we capture the word by means of action. Writing down the things that you need to hear again will keep you from forgetting. Some of you get that little slip of paper and say, oh, I can doodle. while pastor's preaching. I'm going to challenge you to something. Next week, at least bring a pen. Whether you use it or not is up to you. But bring one. Then you can't blame the devil. The only reason why you won't have it is because you didn't write it down. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us as the Word of God comes forth, and we should be writing down the things that He's saying to us. But if you don't write it down, guess what will happen? You will forget it. Say amen. Amen. So the remedy for that is write it down. Oh, but the second part of the remedy is not just write it down, but when you get home after you've had you know, your lunch at, you know, Red Robin. This is not a commercial. You open your Bible when you sit down, whatever you're doing, this type of thing. Let me just go over just the one thing or the three things that God told me today, and you give it a chance to find root in your heart. Now, this may sound like it's so elementary, but you know something? If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. You'll be among that 90 percentile that really gets to 99 percentile because you won't remember a thing. You won't even remember the songs we sang. The devil will use ill will to prevent the word from taking root. He may use an offense against a pastor, a preacher, an elder, a believer to prevent the word from impacting your life. I can give you a surefire way allowing the enemy to have a hold in your life. Get bitter toward somebody. Let unforgiveness get in your heart. The word can't get in. You say, why is that so important? She hurt my feelings. He said something I don't believe he should have said. The Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive. I got a 3-word prophecy for you. Are you ready? Let it go. What? We may hear what is being said, but the enemy will take it, will make us despise it because it is contrary to the way we want to live. I know people that come to church on a weekly basis or a semi-monthly basis for some of you, and they just kind of pick and choose the things or saying, well, you know, going to church every week, that's a little bit too much to ask. If I can make it a couple times a month, praise the Lord, Jesus knows my heart. Oh, yes, he does. And you know what he knows about your heart? Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you don't even know what it's all about. Because the devil says, oh, boy, if I can only go to church twice a month, I got double the chance to let them forget the things they never remembered. Really? You start off in the hole. Interesting. We will represent, here's number two, we will represent the word as judgment rather than conviction of sin and refuse to repent. How dare him say that to me? He can't judge me. He doesn't really know who I am. He doesn't know my spirit. He doesn't know my situation. How could he judge me on that ticket? That, you know something? We try to turn conviction of the spirit into judgment. How can he say that about me? He doesn't know me or my situation. Really? I've had people come up to me after church and say, how did you know I was going through that last week? Do you think I have time to go around and trace you? You know, to ask all your friends, what's he been up to this week so I can preach on it on Sunday? Believe me, you are not that interesting. Hello? If I said it and it convicted you or caused you to think, guess what? The Holy Spirit loves you enough to tell you the truth so you can repent and get it right. I do not go on the psychic hotline, okay. Well, our worldly sense of values or agreement with the culture will keep us, kill the word from taking root. Culture will kill you. Because we look at the trends and what people say and what they think, and we let it just kind of waft or wash over what the Holy Spirit is telling us through the Word of God. Our high opinion of ourselves will prevent us from seeing our brokenness and the need for the cross to deal with our sin. And, you know, every single one of us is broken. I'm a broken person. You say, well, you're a pastor. I'm a broken person. But it's the blood of Jesus, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the intercession of the Holy Spirit that puts me together and allows me to be able to effectively minister to you. Let's go through this and a couple of things I need to tell you, and I'll get to our last point. We will allow ourselves, allow self-righteousness to excuse our sin in the light of the sins of others that we feel are greater than ours. Well, at least I'm not as bad as she is. I mean, I know I'm bad, but, you know, she is a case. Okay. We will misrepresent the word as judgment, of course, and rather than conviction of sin, and refuse to repent. Or we will allow Satan to blind our eyes towards sin and allow the culture to influence us. Let me get to this last point. Our focus must remain upon Jesus if we desire to walk on the power of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. Very familiar story, but I need to draw a parallel with it. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you little faith, why did you doubt? I want you to focus, just look at me if you can, this particular direction. It's not an ego thing. I just want you to catch some of you, your eye contact. We must never forget the word that Jesus gives us to stand or to walk on. And I want to tell you, the one thing that's so easy for me and for you to do is we forget what Jesus told us. Just like I said, you'll forget, you know, 90% of what I told you. But we'll forget what Jesus told us. But you know, the nice thing about it is, if we forget it, pick up your Bible and read it again. Hello. If you forgot, read it again. And then if you forget, read it again. And if you forget to read it again, the Word of God is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide between the flesh and the spirit. Well, we will only get to know the Lord when we believe and trust His Word that He's given to us. And there's many stories and many times this scripture has been preached. I've preached it many times. But I think we'll discover a little bit more about it. Our circumstances must be subject to what He commands us to do. The whole story behind it is Jesus comes walking on the water, and first of all, the first illustration, people say, oh, it's a ghost. And Peter says, hold on. I need to find out whether it is or not. Now, notice what he says. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. I want to tell some of you that have been riveted by doubts and this type of thing, I will not chide you, I will not rebuke you, I will not make you feel bad for having doubts about whether you thought it was the Lord or not. Get over that. But once he gives you the word of God, you better walk on it. You hear what I said? Once he gives you the word of God, nobody said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. The Lord said, get out of the boat. Lord, I believe, I believe it's you. You know what he signed to get out of the boat was, come. Well, you can't come to the Lord staying in the boat. Get out of the boat. Lord, I believe it's you, but I want to stay here in comfort just in case it's not. You can't have it both ways. Either you believe it's him and you walk on the word or stay in the boat and drown. I don't care. Well, here we go. The word that Jesus gives us is unchangeable and powerful and cannot be defeated. Peter walked on the word. Obviously, I've said this many times before. But Jesus resolved the question of who he was for Peter. The moment he got out of the boat and started walking, he says, oh my goodness. But then what happened? His eyes were on Jesus and he wasn't really focusing on the water. His eyes were on Jesus. Well, Jesus is the living word. Amen. Not the water word, the living word. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going down. So thus the case is this. The word of Jesus was not hindered by the storm. Some of you, many of you in here right now are going through a storm. Anybody going through a storm? Wave your hand. A lot of you, right? But don't worry about the storm. Focus your eyes on Jesus. He'll take you through the storm. So the deal is, you know, Peter had faith as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Well, the word can only be taken from Peter when he changed his focus. And you know what the distraction was? The storm. I want you today to take your focus off the storm and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because some of us get here, we're so focused, oh, this is going to happen, finances going on, my body's sick, the Bible doctor's giving me this particular thing. We focus on that, and we don't focus on the healer who's able to take care of all of this stuff. Change your focus off of the situation and put your eyes on Jesus. That doesn't mean you're denying I'm living in la-la land. No, I'm living in the reality of the power of God, who is a living word, who's able to handle every situation you're going through. If you believe in him, put your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Well, as the worship team comes back up here, here's what we need to do. The word can only be taken from Peter when he changes his focus. When we shift our eyes off Jesus, we look at our circumstances, we're ultimately going to be defeated. That's it. It's going to happen. Defeat. End of story. Or what about that? The word can only be stolen from us if we forget what he told us. So how do we remember what he told us? Write it down. Read it again. When we must never forget what Jesus told us and stand firm on his word. I want to make you successful today, every person in this room successful. This is going to be the turning point for many of us, and hopefully for all of us, who have been victimized by this 90th percentile of forgetting what we heard at church today. And if you will follow these three things I'm going to tell you, it'll be a beginning to a new relationship with Jesus. Number one, find the one thing that Jesus is telling you to do today. Not five, one. If it's have more faith, it's to trust me in this situation. If it's to repent, whatever it is, find the one thing that Jesus is telling you to do. Second part of the statement is, and then do it. Procrastination is more than a thief of time. Procrastination is the thief of blessing or the thief of fulfillment of what God says he will do and wants to do in your life. For others of you that the Lord has said something and it's going to be a process of you working it through, find the one thing that God wants you to do, or the Lord wants you to do, Jesus wants you to do, write it down and read it every day until it's done. Amen. That's if, you know, oh, that's a good suggestion. I'm not suggesting, I'm telling you what to do in Jesus' name. And I dare you not to do it. Because it's to your detriment if you don't. Walking on water is an experience. I've never done it. But I believe in the Jesus that allowed Peter to do it. And I want to say some things to you as we're beginning to close. There are people in here today that God has spoken something very specific to you, and I want you, with your heads bowed right now, to focus on that one thing. Not two, one. And I will guarantee you there are people here today that the Lord has told you is today is the day for you to get your heart right with me. I'm not guessing, I know. I'm here to tell you today that those of you who have struggled with addictions, with habits, with sin patterns, whatever it happens to be, the Holy Spirit told you today, this is one thing to focus on. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to give you a chance to respond. There'll be people to pray with you. Because the Holy Spirit is here directing you, and if you concentrate on that one thing, Jesus will help you with that. With your eyes closed, I want you to focus yourself, if you can, most of us can, to be out on a stormy sea. In a distance, you see a shadow of what looks like Jesus. And you really want to know, is it you, Jesus? Because I'm in trouble. My life's falling apart. The seas are rolling. I don't think I can make it. But if it's you, Jesus, can I come to you? And you notice that Jesus didn't say, yes, it's me. He just gave one word, and the word has come. As I'm praying right now, I want to install in your heart the word come, because the word come to you means get out of your seat, get out of your comfort zone, get out of that particular place that's familiar to you in the midst of the storm with everybody else. In regards to what the people in the boat think about you, get up and come to me. I'm giving this invitation to people who have never given their life to Jesus. I give this invitation to people who have fallen away from Jesus. I'm giving this to people that says, you know what, I need to come to Jesus today and to solidify what he's told me he's going to do and to allow my belief to be commensurate with a deliverance for my problem. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give people a bold spirit to come. They won't wait for their neighbor. They won't wait for their friend. They won't wait for their wife. They won't wait for anybody else. But they'll hear the word of God, and they'll come to this altar today with believing that you, as they come to you, that you'll fulfill every need that's in their heart. Jesus, would you give them the comfort of knowing that there will be no judgment, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and those who are coming for the very first time to Jesus today, they will come to find forgiveness for their sins. Everybody stand to your feet right now. Everybody. Everybody stand to your feet. As we sing this last song, I want you that heard that voice of Jesus to come. Without looking at anybody else, you make your way to this altar right now. Come right now. Just come. That's what the Lord said to you. Come. Don't wait for anybody else. You come. You don't wait for anybody else. You come. You come. You come. That's right. They're coming. You come. You come. I'm about to speak the benediction, but my heart's just troubled. There's probably a couple more people that need to come. So as we make this benediction, I hope that you, instead of going out those doors, would come this direction. Because Jesus has prepared a table for you to minister to you. Everybody lift your hands and let's pray. Father, as we leave this place but not your presence, I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of those who have yet to come to you, because, Lord, the word is to come. And you'll meet all the needs they have. Lord, as we go about our day today, I pray that your anointing, your power, that one thing that you have for us to do this week, that one thing you're working on us, Lord, help us to accomplish it as we put our faith and confidence in you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you still need to come, you walk this direction. I'm walking that direction. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.